Okay, I'm going to call this special public workshop for Monday, April the 11th of the Port of Port Townsend Commission to order. As you're all aware, this meeting starts at 8:30, but poor Pete forgot. So we're going to start and...
He's on his way.
He's on his way, and we'll start with the stormwater update, and Pete can get updated at a later time. And if there's anything, any comments, we'll make sure that Pete gets them.
Right, with that, there's a number of factors that are moving right now on the whole stormwater front, both here at our facilities, but also statewide. Last Wednesday, I attended a meeting hosted by the NMTA, Northwest Marine Trade Association, which represents all the boatyards, both public and private, to review the draft Department of Ecology boatyard permit. It's out for public comment now. It's on DOE's website. The commissioners have all been given a copy of that, of the latest draft. So there's a number of concerns. NMTA, along with their attorney, is meeting with some of the higher-ups at DOE today. So I expect we'll hear some more in the next few days about the status. Also, I've been in contact with Jerry O'Keefe at the Washington Public Ports Association, who runs all their environmental stuff. He's getting with DOE also, and we're going to try to, we need as an industry, make sure we're all talking off the same sheet of music. But if I can, here are some of the particulars. One, the public comment goes through the 29th of April period. The published effective date for the new permit is July 2nd. Although we heard last Wednesday that there's already some rumors that DOE, and they've done this before, might delay the effective date, depending on the comments. If there's something substantive that they need to take more time to review, that perhaps will change the wording of the permit, they have that right to just keep the current permit in effect and then set a new effective date, September, October, whatever it takes. There's also going to be a series of two meetings, one on the 19th and one on the 20th. The 19th is in Everett, the 20th is at DOE headquarters in Lacey. I plan on going to the one in Lacey on the 20th, and I'm not sure if Al's going to go to the Everett one or not. He did the last time. Al, by the way, was going to be here, but he got in late from come back from vacation from Florida. He's over in Seattle right now. I'll get with him afterwards. But and those are going to be public sessions for further comment, and we'll see what comes out of that. Real basically, here's some of the issues. The benchmarks, except for lead, are not going to change, which is good. And that's something the industry has lobbied hard for the DOE, with the thought that the benchmarks have gotten so restrictive over the last decade, it's actually gotten out in front of the ability of technology and best management practices to catch up. Just because you can measure in parts per billion for copper and zinc and lead, it doesn't necessarily mean the technology is out there that can meet those benchmarks. So the argument was, leave them alone and allow another five-year period, and that's the period of the new permit, to allow boatyards to make their infrastructure improvements, to try some best management practice changes, etc. Because these things aren't immediate. Just because we have a new BMP this week doesn't mean you're going to see the positive or negative effect next week. It's going to take months, if not years. Same with infrastructure changes. The one benchmark that did change, and that's lead, and they changed it from a benchmark to a limit. That's legally significant. Benchmarks are not a requirement, it's a goal. A limit is a requirement. Now, lead is not an issue for most yards, it's not an issue for us. And the way the permit is written, it's only going to affect those boatyards discharging to freshwater bodies. Lake Union, for instance. So we're not concerned directly, but the industry is still a little bit concerned that, and it's primarily not because they chose lead, it's the fact they chose to go from a benchmark to a limit. It kind of sets a little bit of a precedent, you know, and everybody, like the old saying, when people are out to get you, paranoia makes good sense. And the boatyards are all paranoid, you know, about the next permit and what's going to change. So some of the other things is it's just the complexity of the wording. You know, it's human nature when you revise and republish any document, whether it's a permit or whatever, there's that feeling you got to change something to show that you've done your work. And they've made several sections very complex, and we're not sure what the meaning really is and what DOE is after. And that is some of what NMTA is down in Olympia today for. One of the areas is the mixing zones. Under the old permit, it's a dilution factor of 20 to 1. The new wording is 5 to 1. And this is the area where your outfall goes into the open water, in this case, the marina for us, and you have a certain dilution factor right there. And it's normally not an issue, but under the new wording, you can be meeting your benchmarks upland, but if somebody were to decide to test the open water, you could still fail from a permit perspective. And virtually everybody in the industry thinks that's really not fair. You know, you've already demonstrated that your facility is meeting the benchmarks, because once you're in the open water, there's all sorts of other variables that you don't have any control over. So they're going to get some more clarification on that. There's some words in there about facility preventive maintenance, that the facility must coordinate with DOE if the proposed maintenance of the facility will impact discharge. And it's really too uncertain, you know, what do I mean by maintenance? Every time we scrape the yard and get rid of the potholes.
That's a broad brush.
I know, it's way too loose. And, you know, if a marine trade wants to build a new building, you know, do we have to contact DOE for permission now? You know, it's almost impossible to determine what's going to have the impact to our stormwater runoff. There's a section about rail systems, and we don't have a rail system, but the concern here is that they added language that if you are on a rail system, you pull your boat out for repair or maintenance, you have to pull it up far enough to be one full boat length away from the water. Now, they don't say whether it's the mean high tide, the high tide, or what, one full boat length. And there's not very many rail systems still functioning. But the concern here, again, a little bit of paranoia mixed in, is this going to be something that translates to other yards? If you go down along the Larry Scott Trail by the West End restroom, you've got some pretty large vessels down there. And at a high tide, those vessels are less than one full boat length from the water. Yeah, and what we would rather see is verbiage that if the maintenance is being done within the facility and the facility is being constructed to capture anything that comes from that vessel in its stormwater system, what do you care whether it's one boat length, a half a boat length, or 20 boat length? It shouldn't matter as long as you're demonstrating you're capturing any runoff from the site. So again, another area that needs clarification. The other one that I personally, that really does impact us or could impact us, is on page 16, oversight of do-it-yourselfers and independent contractors. It's very unclear in the language. Now, it's not a long paragraph, I'll just read it. The permittee, that's us, must ensure that all individuals who service marine vessels or any other motor-driven vehicle. And so what are we now, a used car repair facility? Why'd they even put that word, those words in there? So forgetting that, or otherwise conduct boatyard activities at its facility, whether employed by the boatyard or not. In our case, we don't employ anybody to work on boats. Implement all the mandatory BMPs described in condition S3, mandatory best management practices, whether through signage and education, denial of access, or some other means, the permittee must exercise control over all potential sources of pollutants at its facility. And again, that's, boy, that's wide open. You know, what's that mean? Does that mean if we're not meeting our benchmarks at some point, we've got to fence off the yard and restrict the hours? I don't know. We've already got signage. We make everybody sign a, you know, the whole stack of BMPs and promise that they'll be good citizens. Al and Johnny are going around the yard on a daily basis telling people do this or that, you know, especially if they're violating. The yard guys are doing it. We're all doing it. We see something happening. I don't know. That is way too wide open for future possibilities. So, more to follow on the permit. If you have any questions after reading it, if you're not sure, we gave you clean copies of the new draft. If you go on the DOE's website, they've got a line in, line out copy also, so you can see some of the changes. But again, more to follow. Expect to hear something from Peter Trappin at MMTA here later this week, and Jerry O'Keefe at WPPA. And then again on the 20th, perhaps some more. I would not be surprised if they don't delay the implementation some period of time, whether it's a couple of months or more. So the rest of what I wanted to cover, we've got a couple other things happening.
Before we go away from this, are they planning on commenting at these places on things that you just brought up, or do we need to be doing that?
Well, that's what NMTA is.
Right,
and then
NMTA.
What we're going to do is kind of put a point paper together so that all the boat yards can you know, send in their own letters, as well as WPPA. So
WPPA, yes. Jerry then is planning on being at both of these meetings and commenting on all this stuff.
I don't know if he's going to be at both meetings. He only needs to be at, they're both the same meeting, just two different locations.
Yeah. My question is, do we need to show up, or is Jerry going to be?
I'm going to show up.
Yeah.
And Al's going to the other one, right?
That's my understanding. I haven't talked to him specifically, but he did last time. He went to the Everett, I went to the Lacey one. But I fully expect that we'll make up a pair of something to send in before the 29th. So I'll put a copy in your box. I want to make sure we're saying the same thing at the other boat yards that we don't, you know. That's where you kind of dilute your message. If everybody else is saying this, and all of a sudden the biggest public boat yard comes in, oh, that's not a problem for us. Well, maybe you kind of stick together here. The other thing is we contacted Landau, and last Wednesday I talked to Joel Kalmar from Landau. He was sitting next to me at the meeting. We're asking Landau to do a complete audit of our boat yard. They're going to be doing samples. We're going to kind of pick their brains on, and they know our yard. They're part of the original design when Reed Middleton built it back in the late 90s, 97, 98 timeframe. You know, kind of get their ideas, but I want to make sure that our sampling protocols and the lab that we use are adequate. One of the issues that came up last Wednesday, there's a lot of variation between labs. There's different ways to chemically do these tests. And some labs will use one protocol, others will use a different protocol. And I just want to make sure that we're getting, you know, this thing done right. And So, when, we got an estimate, when they're gonna start, or?
Well, they don't need to take samples till May, but they are gonna come up for a meeting with you.
So that'll be one thing. The other one, and you've got copies, is a request for qualifications that Eric put together, and it closes this Friday?
Correct.
Yeah, we've already gotten quite a bit of interest. Parametric stopped by last week to talk to us, and P&amp;D also stopped by. And I suspect there'll be several more companies. And again, this is to get somebody on board. It'll take us a month or so, this is with an engineer firm. You can only do an RFQ, not an RFP. You can only select on qualifications by state law. And once you select the one you think is the best qualified, then you get into the scope of work and what the costs are, and if you, for some reason, feel that they're too expensive or whatever, then you can also go back to your second set. But the whole RFQ here, but it's to kind of look at everything from BMPs to infrastructure improvements. One of the things, I really want them to come back with their thoughts on it and some cost estimates, it'll be very rough cost estimates. I think the future of this yard, if we're gonna continue to be a working waterfront, we need to stop discharging the open water. To do that, it will be some yet-to-be-designed system, and it may be phased in, combination of either detention ponds, rain gardens, etc. We've got an awful large yard, but I think it's doable, and I think we're gonna have to do it. And over the next 5 years or so, I won't be here to see it, but I think that needs to be a focus of the port to protect marine trade activity here. So, more to follow on the RFQ. I don't know if you want to say anything, Eric, on that, or?
Just maybe to elaborate somewhat on kind of what the college's expectations seem to be with respect to how you ultimately get potentially to future capital improvements. They really want you to exhaust every other potential avenue before resorting to technology. So the RFQ has been written in such a way so as to ensure that the any interested consultants are aware of the fact that we're really focusing on potentially additional source controls as well as management and operational changes, with capital improvements being sort of the last resort. Although I think it's fair to say that it's probably where we wind up. There's a stepwise process to get to that destination that Ecology will expect for the port to follow.
And that's where my concern, going back to the paragraphs that I read, you know, if they're going to make us keep doing other operational, BMPs, etc., how far does that go? Because at some point it's going to start impacting their revenue. One of Al's ideas is full encapsulation of all vessels. That'll add an expense to all boat owners. That'll probably cause a drop in the number of vessels that we haul out here. Things like restricting the hours of the yard. DOE is going to expect something like that before we go to actual capital investments. Part of our success here, not from necessarily environmental, because we're failing on the environmental side, we're the last open yard in the state of Washington, public yard, where you can just come in here and you can work on a Sunday afternoon, you can work till sundown on Thursday night, and you're free. We expect you to obey the BMPs, but I don't have the staff to be here 24/7 to monitor this. So do we start fencing the place off, restricting it? We have the independent contractor issue. We still don't know who's working on boats out in the yard. A lot of them have registered, but darn well, still a lot of folks out there. They have no idea who they are or how they operate their business, or even if it is a business. And, you know, that all is potential fodder for DOE to say, we need to take these steps before, you know, go into the infrastructure. We do expect a, we had a meeting about 5 weeks ago with DOE. Eric, Al, and I, and that we expect an administrative order from DOE. We're told they were kind of going to wait till this got issued in July to give us the order. You know, we're already at level three, as are most yards, and we've already done our engineering, we did the ACAR study. We implemented DOE's recommendation of putting in the RX systems. They were kind enough to give us some grant money to help with that, but it's still many hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of infrastructure. And we're still not meeting our benchmarks. And that's one of the things we want Landau and this engineer firm to help us with. You know, the activity in the yard is down. We're treating all the roof runoff now for zinc. The cleaning of the stormwater system last summer, now that obviously like a mud puddle where the water's clear and you stomp through it, everything gets cloudy. But eventually it settles out again. You would expect that as each day goes by, that should be settling and clearing out. So all the indicators are pointing to better copper and zinc readings, but we're seeing just the opposite. And so that's why we need some outside help here. Things aren't going the right direction. So with that, I don't know, did I miss anything?
Can I ask what you, this is the first time I've seen the RFQ, and you indicated that you were going to try to work on optimizing the infrastructure we already have. And as you know, when we came back from that environmental conference 3 years ago in Vancouver, I came back all excited about biofiltration. And at the time I was wanting to get started on that, but we were in the level three response. We had to do this engineering report and optimize all the stuff we had in place. Well, we did. We spent a lot of money and time and actually good research on getting the biochar in place. But I think we've exhausted that. So I'm personally more comfortable having seen the example in Vancouver and also another one just over in Port Angeles, and not trying to say, let's see if we can continue to make the stuff we have work. Let's see if we can get it where, like Larry said, like it should be, going into the ground rather than into the bay. I mean, I'm not sure, I haven't read this all yet, but I'm not sure, you said that it was directed toward getting things we have working rather than new technology. I think it's time to say, like, we've tried to get this working. Let's go to the thing that we know works based on Vancouver and Port Angeles.
Yeah, well, I think we'll have to wait and see what the administrative order says. I would anticipate that Ecology would take a different view, and that they would see it as an instance where there remain some arrows in the quiver that we have yet to pursue. So part of what we would be bringing an engineering firm on for is to help us diagnose the problem. What is the cause of the problem? Is it inadequate source control? Is it potentially the stormwater cleaning that Larry described that may have stirred up materials in the system? Is it the change in our sampling protocol, which we've instituted this year, rather than taking one sample of the outfall, going to four samples and averaging those? As sort of I think the important thing is to get an accurate baseline. How well is our system working now? And number two, to take a look at that administrative order and see what Ecology's expectations will be for the future. I would anticipate that we will wind up where you describe, but that there is a process to get there, and that we haven't exhausted that process yet.
In my fear, that process can be very painful.
However, the process, yeah. but that's the point.
Because of the additional operational mechanisms we're going to be forced to implement.
Yeah. If I could just add, though, I mean, given the kind of breadth of potential capital repair and replacement projects that have been outlined, to the extent that additional expensive stormwater improvements can be delayed, even if, you know, 2 or 3 years. That is absolutely to the port's advantage. So the notion that we're going to get a study this year that immediately outlines, you know, an expensive suite of improvements that we must undertake, I think ecology is going to instead lay out a process with kind of anticipated time frames to see whether or not we need to undertake these improvements. And that, in fact, will be to our advantage because it will give us, you know, 4 or 5 years.
So when are we expecting the order?
Again, they were talking July. They were going to wait for the new permit to be issued. But if the permit gets delayed a couple of months, I would expect we still get something about that time frame.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, I think in the meantime, though, we could ramp up EMP enforcement. And I think we ramp up education process for people coming into the yard, hauling their boat out, and so on. So, you know, I think there's all kinds of ways we could ramp that up and really drill home to these folks that there's no leeway.
There isn't, and their life as well as ours mm-hmm. could drastically change if we don't get right with the Lord here.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing that I
not to make this a religious thing,
that I get a little bit come to Jesus on that is that we know what the eventual outcome should be, and we've known that for quite a while. And I just don't want to get caught up in the point of saying, well, okay, now we need to see what happens if we do this little tweak to the RX systems, or if we do this little expensive thing to the outfall pump system, or if we raise, you know, I don't want to get caught around chasing our tail doing all these expensive things when we know the final solution is going to be a dedicated storm pond where we discharge the pollutants into the ground rather than into the bay. I mean, I'd just assume bypass all that farting around in the middle, you know, trying to make what we have, you know, make it work a little bit better, but then at the end find out we've got to do it anyway. Just go right to that, get it designed and start that, because it's not going to get any cheaper further down the road.
Not to take issue, but just to be really clear in what I'm trying to convey here, we're not talking about expensive things up front. We're talking about additional proactive, low-cost steps we might take in terms of management and operational changes, understanding we don't want to undermine, you know, existing lines of business that the port has or hurt the trades. But to exhaust those avenues absolutely before we undertake the expensive part, which is the capital improvement.
You know, we just hauled one of our boat, the Redhead, out, and a couple things happened that were interesting. One is the bilges were full, not full, but they still had stuff in them, and I completely forgot about that until the boat was being pulled out, and I thought, oh man, the bilges, I didn't get the bilges cleaned out. So we pulled all the fuses so the pumps wouldn't go off. But it occurred to me, an email from the port, more legwork for the staff, but an email out to a boater that's coming in saying, here are the things you need to be considering when you're going to pull out, would be really proactive. Because that was an incident where, I mean, I'm obviously going to do BMPs, but at the same time, you know, we're moving fast and suddenly the boat's in the slings and I'm like, oh my gosh, we didn't dry back out the bilges. So I thought that was an interesting thought. And the other one I was considering is we having the people working on the boat, they really need to be briefed. Like we had our two guys working on BMP or working on the boat. And I went down there and had to correct them on a couple things they were doing because they just weren't following BMPs. And so again, it's kind of just.
And that's always the, you know, do we hold the boat owner responsible for that? I would say yes.
Yeah, I would say yes.
If I hire a contractor to work on my house and they screw up something and it affects my neighbor, yeah, they're not going after the contractor. They're coming knocking on my door, you know, for letting them do the bad work. So, yeah, it's just, it's, I, I think we need to come up with a thorough list of all the possible changes to BMPs and new BMPs and some of our operations. And I'm telling you right now, it's going to be hard implement. And I think we could get it under control with those things, but it will destroy the culture of Port Townsend. That, it's that drastic. I'm really concerned about the whole thing, that we cannot keep operating an open yard like we have been for decades. We just can't do it. Not with every 5 years getting the screw turned a little bit tighter on us. And talking to Larry Ozzie when he got here, which was a lot longer than I've been here, the yard was fenced. And at 5 o'clock, the yard guys closed the gate. Now, what happened between then and now, I don't know, but somehow the fence went away and the gate came down. So more to follow. And what we real fast, I just went through some of the concerns about the draft DOE permit. Had a meeting with MMTA last week. They're down in Olympia talking to DOE today, MMTA and their attorney. I'll be going to a meeting with DOE on the 20th. I'll probably be going, it's the same meeting, two different locations. I'll probably go to one in Everett on the 19th. And as an industry, we'll be putting together a point paper on concerns. And I'll probably draft up our own response to DOE. There's some talk that they may not issue it in July as previously planned. They may delay it a couple of months if they have to make any substantive changes based on the comments. So. And we went over the RFQ that's due this Friday for engineering support.
Well, after those meetings and time to digest all that information, how about we set up another BMP meeting like we had before with all the trades and basically get everybody here. Yeah. One big roundup.
Just on a side issue, the guy who wrote the old permit that we those of us in the industry were actually pretty comfortable with the guy, Bailey. He had been a DOE for decades, had kind of grown up with a boatyard permit. And there's a certain trust factor there. And he retired, and the gentleman that's now writing the permit is kind of a hardcore statistician, regulator type. And the feeling you get, a few boatyards go out of business, okay, saving the environment. So. It's a little fuzzy feeling.
Hopefully. Yeah.
Or is it Ingerberg? I guess it must be Dr. Nielsen. You guys know who I am. Just some comments. Having gone through, as I mentioned to Larry, gone through this in the DOD world, same kind of thing. I think we should never underestimate the ability of the people who work in the yards and work in the trades to adapt. I mean, we go back and look at all that's happened to us. We've always adapted, we've always changed, and we always figure out a way to overcome the next obstacle. But I agree with Steve Tucker. We ought to do two tracks. Yep, we'll do what the DOE says, tweak this or tweak that or go down the, but we ought to be looking at this pond or retention tank or whatever it's going to be. And there's nothing, I don't believe DOE can tell us you can't do that. But what they don't want to be seen as adding huge capital investments to yards because of their regulations. They want to, they're of the mindset that if we just regulate you guys, you'll be okay. And Mr. Tucker's approach is, hey, you know, let's fix this once and for all. And I heard Larry say this at the BMP presentation that Al did, is, you know, the only way to stop discharge is to capture the discharge. now nobody's gonna look at you and say you're discharging, because it's in a tank, it's measurable, it's quantifiable, it's there, we take out this much sediment and we handle it in a way. And yeah, it's expensive, but these kind of fixes, I think, doesn't mean you let up on the BMP process in the yard, but it's kind of one of those solutions that those who buy in early may just be ahead of, you know, an incredible tidal wave that comes through and requires everybody to capture all their outfalls. And I don't know what Puget Sound Alliance will do if we don't have an outfall. I mean, they may go begging for work or something. Looking for other
sources.
That'd
be a nice goal, put them out of business.
But it is, I think, when the auditors arrived on this DOD administrative order that I lived under for 3 years, it was unrelenting. And Larry's right, this can get really nasty. And they were just unrelenting. It's like, you guys don't have any feelings. You don't care, you know, and they would just say, well, we're looking at the rates, and the rates were, they're FAR and cost accounting standards and all of that stuff, and DOD 2000 and all of those quality control things. And they were written in broad terms so that they could be adapted to specific instances. By who? The auditor. It's not like you can convince somebody there's a better way. He's just, it says here. And so we want to kind of keep that in the back of our mind, is that this could get very sticky. And having a plan B that's close at hand is, I think, an extremely good idea. Eric, I know you said that they don't want us to do capital investments. They want us to do the tweaking first, if I understood
correctly. They want to see capital improvements as the last resort. So I think that what we're intending to do is, would include what you described, but not as the first option.
And it can't be the first option anyways, because you can't build the tank tomorrow.
Exactly. If you had all the money, it would still be a 3-year process.
Yeah. So
permitting. And
I think that's the way to go. And if we all have to adapt and change in the yard, I don't know a better group of people who could do that than the people we have in the yard today. Individual boat owners, that's a slightly different thing because they come in from everywhere. But I think if you ask the Marine Trades how to do it better, I wouldn't be surprised if they could come up with a list of things that could be done. And I think Joe Bums is one of the places that's figuring it out. I mean, he was doing encapsulation below the waterline before we even started talking about it. You know, he had scaffolding and stuff he could throw up, encapsulate and go do. He didn't do it on every boat, but it was kind of something I noticed. It's like he made forms so that they could just be put around a boat, and we can do that. We're smart enough to do that. So just these few words, as long as the administrative order is a little while in coming, we've got time to plan, time to talk and get people on board, and it'll be awkward initially, but we'll get it, I think. And I think that's the message, we, all of us, the commissioners, the staff, and the Marine Trades, we'll all get it, because it's about who we are. Okay, just those few words, thanks.
It's kind of interesting, so we're doing a lot at Edmonds, and walking by the other day, and the travel lift had parked the boat probably he just stopped like 2 feet farther than he should have, and they've got a little blacktop dam in where the washdown is so that it goes into the trap and not into the stormwater. Well, it was, the guy was blowing it off, and there was this big blue streak going right into the stormwater. And, you know, and then I'm walking by their little yard there, and I've walked through it a couple times. It's paved, it's got a nice wind cover on the fence and stuff, but there's no drain off the pavement, so it's just running off the pavement. And, you know, it's a silent tidal wave. Nobody really knows boater-wise what's coming. And, you know, that little yard will go away eventually. And I think it's going to be interesting in the boating world when it all kind of comes home to roost that there's no place to pull your boat out anymore.
Well, along those lines, if we can hold the line and keep our yard open, not to wish ill will to any other yard, but there's a lot of really small yards. A lot of them are legacy yards, privately owned, and they're all obviously on the waterfront. The land is very valuable, and you are getting to the point where, you know, why should I continue to suffer with all this when I can sell my waterfront property for millions and go retire? And so I think you're going to see more and more yards go away. So they got to, the boat's got to go somewhere. So again, if we can continue to grow, then the welcome sign is out. And now one other thing, Jordan was talking, it reminded me, in this RFQ, it is our intent to explore the detention system. You know, what would that look like? I personally think it will have to be a phased in multiple system. You're not just going to dig one big hole in the center of the yard and everything go in it. You know, we got the 2-acre wetland down by the maintenance shop that might be able to be incorporated some way. But the city, with their sewer system, is required, because they got certain grants for that, to take up to 20% of the volume. It's supposed to be industrial waste. And we're really the only industrial activity in Port Townsend. So, this came to light when we cleaned the system last summer. We had those two big red Baker tanks where we sucked the water out, filled up the tanks, and then let it sit. And within a day or two, you know, the sediment comes out. It still wasn't crystal clear, but the upper strata of the water tested clean enough. We just pumped it into the city sewer and got rid of it. And it almost made me think, geez, maybe I ought to just buy 24 Baker tanks and line them up here and do that. But also raised the issue about the lab. It was a different lab that did the testing than the lab that we use. So there's so many moving parts. We've got to start picking one off at a time and getting down to, okay, this is what's actually, you know, the cause of our problem here. And,
so, Larry, the city is required to have 20% of their water that they treat the industrial? Is that correct?
Up to
20%.
But it still has to meet certain chemical standard before they'll accept it, because they don't want to, you know, screw up their whole system.
Right.
They're required by law to do certain testing.
Can I make a quick comment here? By DOE rules, our metal levels are allowed to be much more if we're not dumping water directly into the bay. And as far as the detention pond / rain garden type system, that's a huge advantage for us. If we have that, the zinc that's allowed to go into that is going to be 10 times what it is now. Now it's at 90 parts per million. We can put 1,000 for 1,020 perhaps. It's somewhere around 1,000 into that rain garden, or the pond that comes before the rain garden. This is going to be an essential part of how we're going to make this work sooner or later. And, you know, it's going to take time to figure that out and as Larry says, we have kind of a monopoly. And there are a whole lot of boat owners out there, and because I'm one of them, who really do not want anyone else to work on their boats. They love their boats. It's really important for them to be able to do the work themselves. And as Gordon says, I know that there's a lot of adaptability there that they can bring. And as Al has said, and encapsulation is going to be another key component here. As far as the difficulty of policing the yard, making sure everybody's doing what they're supposed to do, I'd kind of like to put forward the idea that if encapsulation is required and we have control of this one piece, which is the breakdown of the encapsulated boats. In other words, when you gather up whatever's enclosing that hull, that is the critical point at which you need to keep particulates from running away from them. And if this is done right, I think that that's going to bring us a lot closer in preventing the egregious and extreme violations of the BMPs.
Bertram, did you have a comment?
Yes, thank you. I attended that workshop at Al gave. It was very interesting. One thing that really caught my eye was that there is background pollutants that even irrespective of what happens in the yard, it's still not clear where they're coming from and what that entails. But I have three suggestions. The first is as far as BMPs, and I'm talking from a do-it-yourself. I think we should have a certification system like they do for a driver's license, that somebody, that everybody should watch the BMPs either online and take a test and answer all the questions. And then they get a certification. So that if you say, I want to haul my boat on May 1st, that you need to do it online or when you get here. And that will guarantee that everybody just doesn't sign it glibly, but that they really understand what it is that they're doing. And it also emphasizes how important that is for the port, that everybody comply with that. So a certification, you get certified before you work in the yard. The second thing that I thought is encapsulation. If you had to build encapsulation system, it would take a day to build that, but take a day to tear it down, maybe not a day to tear it down. It's a big hassle. And I talked to Al about that, about various ways, and you need to figure out a system that makes it easy for people to encapsulate, because that the PAL says, if you encapsulate, you're taking care of the problem. One attractive thing is these hangers there. If you had a slot that you could, it could go over the spar and then just cover it in the top. If we're already paying $50 for environmental to haul out, you could add a cost to that, or have a rental system for half a day, because as Al says, the major problem is sanding the bottom. And that if you sand the bottom, and you can do that in half a day or a day, with the system that works, then it continues to be something that's easy for the user. So having a couple of hangers would not be that expensive, and would definitely encapsulate. Then take them over and wash them out of the drainage system. So finding a simple way that, where you look at the customer's point of view of how they can comply in an easy way. The third thing is daylight hours. Most people haul out, myself included, in the summer or in spring, when you have daylight till 9 o'clock at night. And for people that are working in jobs, they need that time to do that. You see a lot of people painting at 6 o'clock at night. So to close the yard off at that time would really seriously impact how people get their jobs done. So I think that one has to really look from a customer standpoint at not closing the yard off. And
I think on your suggestions, Bertram, they're good, but each one adds cost to to the yard. You know, if we have to buy encapsulation, if we have to keep FTEs going into the hours, I mean, somebody's gotta manage the yard or be here if we're gonna leave the gates open to police it, if we have to get this right. So we're gonna have to have people on staff. It, you know, and the certification is gonna also add more FTE time to do a process like that. And so I think they're all good suggestions, and yet at the same time, we can still have to pay for it. And I think that's kind of the tension we're always kind of.
Well, you're already paying an environmental fee, I mean.
Right, but that's not, but that is a sum zero game right now. So if we're gonna buy encapsulation, we're gonna have to buy encapsulation. So that's gonna add a cost to the operation, to the yard operation.
Yes, I agree with you on that. But ultimately, it will reduce the amount of pollutants, and that becomes cheaper.
Right.
And so they're not that expensive. Al said those kind of systems are not really as expensive. But he thinks that with 20 customers or maybe more, you could actually pay for that. And then the customer could haul out and have the choice of either having bombs do it or having or renting the mobile unit from the port. Or if they want to, they can build their own system, but making it easy for the customers to do that. As far as the certification, I don't see that that's a big deal, because if it's done online and they answer the questions, they get their certification, it's done. And if it's a checklist, I mean, it doesn't take that long when you do go to get a license.
Let's move on, because we're gonna run out of time. Thanks.
I was gonna say, the biggest thing is we got the executive session for the new director search.
Well, later, let's talk about what we put together for a certification process, because there's we don't have to reinvent the wheel. There's actually training programs online for all kinds of industry that we could look at. So
we also have to look at the fact that all the certifications of BNPs aren't going to make the zinc off the roofs or the fence go away. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that has to get dealt with from technology.
And nobody's arguing with that.
We've already ratcheted up. We've spent a lot of money doing coffins out there and biochar and so on like that. The answer to that is to not, like Carol said, not discharge to the bay, put it into a rain garden. And so
I think we're all in agreement on that.
Yeah, it's going to be a suite of solutions.
Yeah,
no silver bullet here. So,
and I think, Bertram, I think you're right. I just, you know, when you listen to all these comments, and Gordon, you're right too, but, you know, it's kind of like the car wash. I mean, you go to a car wash and you pay your dollar and you expect, or your $10, and you expect to go through the car wash and get your car cleaned. And the culture is going to change to where it's now going to cost $15 to get your car washed. And it's just different. You know, we're going to change the culture of, I mean, we're all used to what we've grown up with doing our boats. And, you know, in a lot of ways, we're still trying to cling on to something we were doing in 1969 and just make it kind of work with the modern system. And that, I think you guys are all right. I mean, that's not going to happen. So we're going to have to change real quick, because we got to keep moving.
It won't be long. The analogy of the car wash,
I'm sorry.
I'm not sure.
Who are you? CJ Burleson.
I am CJ Burleson.
CJ.
The analogy of the car wash is actually excellent. In 1969, we were washing our cars, and the overflow from the sump was going into the storm sewer or the city sewer. Nowadays, in a car wash, all of that water is recycled and treated and filtered.
Correct. Yeah.
Does that strike you as somewhat
analogous
to our situation?
Exactly. And we were paying 50 cents to go to the car wash. Okay, but you got to go quick, CJ, because I want to keep moving with the meter.
We are going to pay for it.
Yeah.
The next point is, as a yard, we have done nothing at all, from what I can see, to prevent zinc from being used. Has anyone noted that? The technology is out there to replace zinc anodes. I'm already using aluminum anodes on my prop. But there's very few operators that have decided to use them. It's a matter of education. The aluminum alloy anodes are equally as effective as zinc for most applications.
start right there. Get the zinc out of the yard, quit bringing it into the yard. Secondly, you've taken on a shipyard contract essentially to fabricate a ferry. And as near as I can tell, no one has done anything about mitigating the zinc that comes from grinding when you're grinding welds on pre-painted steel plate, which has inorganic zinc on it. Has anyone noticed that? So you're putting zinc into the yard unnecessarily. That's all.
Okay, thanks, CD.
Yep. Are we good?
Yeah.
Good. Yep. And we need to get going on the other topic here.
All right. So unfortunately, I want to apologize personally myself. I'm very sorry I was late. I wrote the wrong hour down. And what a great way to start your Monday morning. So again, I apologize.
We have one.
Yeah.
Yeah, 5 minutes is good. I need to make a phone call. Oh, yeah.
Light.